This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
So this morning, I want to give you what I call a recipe for better, including a recipe for how you can make a better connection with God. But first, I want to share a little story about some guys who had a plan and then what happened when God got involved with their plan. The backstory is that the city of Samaria was under siege. The Syrian army had come out and cut off all resources into the city. Nothing came in, nothing went out. Now, when a city would go under siege, it often would resort to this very dire methods to stay alive. And actually, in Samaria, they were starting to cannibalize. They were actually starting to eat their own. So it was bad. So you had the Syrian army, you had inside of Samaria, and then you had four guys who had leprosy who were outside the gate. The Jews had a system of quarantine that was centuries ahead of their time. And so when someone had a contagious disease, they would set them apart. Leprosy is like a cancer on the outside that eats away at body parts. It's always fatal, highly contagious. So you got these four guys outside, Syrian army, gated city, horrible situation. Let's read what happens here. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight, left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and they went and hid it. Four men in a plan. Four men who looked at one another and said, "I am just not going to sit here till I die." And you got to give them credit, even though they were dying, even though their disease was fatal, they still had a desire in them to live and a desire not just to wait for death to come. We're going to do something about this. So they started with that desire and maybe the hope things could be different. But then they looked at their options and they minimized their risk. They said, "Okay, here's the deal. Here's our options. We go in the city. We can't go in the city. People are dying there. It's famine. We're going to die. If we sit here, we die. If we go to the Syrian camp, they might keep us alive. You know, we can come down to the Syrian camp and go, 'Hey, y'all got any extra food?' And somebody might throw out a piece of chicken or something and, you know, throw us out some food. Maybe we can live." They said, "If they kill us, we die." Well, that sounds kind of fatalistic, but what they did was actually smart, because it took all the huge looming mountain of failure and risk and kind of minimized it. Okay, here's the deal. If this is what happens, they played what if. And if this is what happens, then we just die. So then I like what they did next. They took action steps. It said they started at twilight. Usually in the Bible, you read stories like, "And he rose up early in the morning." You hear that phrase a lot, "rose up early in the morning." These guys didn't wait till early in the morning. They just went right then. "We're going to go now." And they went toward the camp. So they didn't procrastinate, didn't put it off. They just said, "We're going." And they started walking toward the camp. And here's where God got involved. Here's where it gets interesting. So these four guys are not in good health. They're going toward the camp, probably limping along. And God caused their footsteps to sound like a great army. In other words, he magnified what they were doing and made it sound so huge that it scared the Syrian army to death. I mean, these guys get up and they're running. They're leaving all their stuff. They left their wallets and everything behind. They just took off. They were scared. And God caused what they were doing just to have an amplified effect. So in other words, he helped them more than they got so much more than what they ever thought. Now they've got not just food, but now they had clothing and they had money. And you think about it, lepers have a hard time getting a job anyway. No one wants to hire a leper. They're always begging. So now they've got a little stash and God provided for them. How many of you know that when God gets involved with your efforts, it always turns out better than what you ever expected? He gets involved in something and he can blow it out and make it real big. So this morning, let's talk about a recipe in your life, a recipe for better. So I'm going to make it like a recipe. We're going to start with a dose of desire and hope. You got to start with some want to. There's got to be some desire in you, and there's got to be some hope there. There's a verse in Proverbs 13 that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it's a tree of life. I think you can look at that a couple of ways. When desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. But when desire comes, it can spark some things. There's always got to be some level of want to. These guys didn't want to die, and that sparked something in them. But it lets us know that if hope is prolonged, if we don't have hope, it's vital to our heart health. I've done studies and read about hope, and psychologists are constantly reading about hope. And what they're finding is hope is a lot more powerful than they thought it was. Hope is something that enables people, if they even face very difficult circumstances, if there's hope, they can face it with a lot more courage. If there's hope, it takes that desire and gives it a reason. Now, back in the 50s, they did a study with rats. Dr. Kurt Richter did a study with rats. People wouldn't do it today because they consider it too cruel. But in the 50s, you could kill rats and nobody worried about it. But in the 50s, what he did was he took a group of rats and he put them in a tank of water and he let them swim. And then he would see how long they swam until they drowned and died. And then another tank, he put a group of rats and he would let them swim. And just before they died, he'd pull them out, give them a little rest, and then put them back in. Here's what he found. He found that the rats who swam with no rescue died much quicker than the rats who had been pulled out. Because once they'd been pulled out and put back in, they would swim and swim and swim because they thought, maybe there's some hope here. Maybe there's a hope. Now, I'm thinking if a rat can figure that out, we can figure that out, that if we have some hope, if we have some expectation of good, then there's a reason to keep swimming. And if anybody has a reason to keep swimming, it's us. We have a reason to keep swimming. We got a God who can pull us out. Not only can he put us out, we don't have to go back in. We've got a God who can help us in these areas. And it keeps our hope alive. So don't ignore that little desire for better when it comes. Maybe you have a desire to go back to school, or desire to lose weight, or desire to improve your marriage, or desire to work with your kids, or desire to launch something in your business. Don't ignore that. Because your desire for better, God can work with that. So you got to ask yourself, what do I want to see improved this year? What would I like? You don't have to have 15 things. You can have three. You can have one. What do I want to see improved? And then you got to watch for the hope and desire killers. And that is, hey, it's been this way for a long time. If you're not careful, you can get used to living with the negatives. And the other one is what I call just heart sickness, where you look out on the horizon and you just don't feel like there's any hope for you. This morning, if you're here and you don't feel like there's any hope that things can ever be better and things can never change, I want to tell you that's not true. I want to tell you there is a God of hope. He still gives hope. He can still help you. He can be in your life, and he's in your life. He can make a difference, and you can look out on the future. So you want to start with brightness. I heard a little girl one time. She said, my computer screen is brighter than my future. I don't believe that. I believe with God in our life, he's a lot brighter than any computer screen. And so we have the ability to look that way. So we start with a dose of hope and desire. Then you want to debone the risk. I don't like eating fish with bones. You eat fish with bone, you get a bone at the inopportune time. So I like my fish deboned. Well, sometimes we need to take the bones out of risk. People look at risk and they're like, what if I fail? And what if I fail? And so one of the ways to look at that is begin to play the what ifs with that. Okay, what if I fail? Is it going to be the end of the world? Does it mean that all this was wasted? I've talked to people that said, if I go back to school and I graduate, I'm going to be 42. You're going to be 42 whether you go back to school or not. So if we think about it, why are we putting so much on that? And so if we take a look at the risk and then step back and go, hey, hang on a second. Wait a minute. I don't have to allow this fear of failure to dominate me. Because is it really failing or is it learning? When my pastor called me 30-some years ago, and I was sitting in my home with my family. We had tried to start a church in my hometown, and we shut it down. It didn't work. My parents stopped going, and When your parents stop going, that's a sign. There's your sign right there. But we knew it wasn't the Lord. We shut it down, but we stayed there for a bit. I had a phone call one evening, and Joy handed the phone to me over the dinner. She didn't have to get up to answer the phone. Our kitchen was so small, she just reached up and got it and handed it to me. She said, "It's Pastor Osteen." I answered the phone. He said, "Alan, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm fine, Pastor Osteen. How are you?" He said, "How's the church?" I said, "Pastor Osteen, we shut it down." I never forget what he said to me next. He said, "Alan, you're not a failure, you're a learner. Come on back." And I thought those words they rang in my heart. You're not a failure, you're a learner. And if you think you're a failure over and over, because I thought I was just an abject failure. Started a church, it didn't work, moved my family, we're now in a bad situation. I felt like a failure, but his words helped me. I'm convinced his words saved my ministry. I'm not a failure, but a learner. I learned some ways not to do it. I learned some things that didn't work out. But failure's not final until we stop risking growing and changing. So if you just look at it, now here's the challenge. With failure, the challenge is there's this little voice in our heart telling us, "You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're this, you're," and it can go to the extreme of, "You're a loser. You'll never make it." And unfortunately, those little voices in our heart are too strong in many people. And we don't admit it, and we won't ever tell people, but it's there. And so what happens is we don't want to do anything that confirms what that little voice tells us. By the way, here's a paid advertisement for Wednesday night. I am talking about your core beliefs on Wednesday. I'm talking about this very thing. Because I believe you begin to change your core beliefs and you begin to change how you think. And you change how you think, you change how you feel, you change how you feel, you change how you act. And things can begin to change dramatically. So that's a paid announcement. That's Wednesday night. We have church. We're going to talk about it right then. Now back to your regularly scheduled message. Now, as we go into this, listen. You may have a little voice telling you that you're not good enough, you weren't smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, but that's not the voice of your Savior. The voice of your Savior is you have potential, you can do it, you can make it. And we see that in Jesus. Remember Peter? Peter did the epic fail when Peter, one of Jesus' top disciples, comes down to Jesus, is arrested. Peter's standing outside warming himself by the fire, and a little girl goes, "Hey, weren't you one of his disciples?" And Peter goes, "No. I don't even know who you're talking about." Not once, but three times he denied that he ever even knew Jesus. Just separated himself completely from Jesus. In fact, he even cussed about it. And Peter, when he realized what he had done, in fact, I believe it's Luke that said, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter felt like the biggest failure in the world. So much so that when the angels were sitting in the tomb on Resurrection Day, Easter, and Mary, the two Marys went to the tomb, they said, "Hey, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen, just like he said. Go tell his disciples and Peter." Jesus could have used Peter as an example right there. He could have said, "You know, Peter, go tell his disciples," but Peter's not in this group. He said, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." And later on, John tells us the story that when Jesus and Peter, or resurrected Jesus and Peter, get together, Peter was asked three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And three times Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." In other words, he didn't look and go, "Peter, I am so stinking disgusted with you. I thought you would have done better. I spent all this time with you." He looked at Peter and said, "I still believe in you. You have a job to do. Now let's get up and do it." And that's exactly what he says to you. You're saying, "Lord, I've missed it. I haven't been a good Christian. I wish I'd been better." And his comment to you is, "Get up. I got a job for you to do. Let's go. Let's do something. I believe in your potential. Let's go." Failure does not have to be final. Here's the third thing. So we got dose of hope and desire. We've deboned the risk. Now we need to put it in a plan. Work with me here. Put it in a plan. The idea is this. If you plan it, it makes it more tangible. A lot of times we're waiting for something miraculous. Just put it in, schedule it into your schedule. Don't look for dazzling, look for daily. Just something you can do daily. And just schedule it in. Now, this morning I want to give you a sample plan of how you can make a better connection with God this year. You ready? Thank you. That no one is ready. Okay, that was not a rhetorical question. Here we go. Sample plan of how you can make. So you put it in your schedule. Let's say you get up every morning to go to work at 5:30. This You schedule it in at 5:20, you wake up. Pastor, would you dare rob me of 10 minutes of sleep? Yes, yes, I would. I would rob you of 10. At 10 minutes is not going to make or break. But here's the deal. You get up, we have Project 345. It's a Bible plan. You say, well, I've tried it for 4 years. I've never gotten all the way through it. If you got part the way through it, you're partly better than you were. So let's give it a shot again. Project 345, 5 days a week, you read the Bible. You read one chapter. It'll take you an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Time may vary according to your reading speed, but it'll take you about that time. Now that's Project 345. And then you say, well, okay, that's my Bible reading time. And then we have a prayer card for you. And we have it out there on the table. So we have it available. We have it out there on the table. And we've got a prayer that you can start and pray. So I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray. You can pray this prayer. Let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's a great prayer. You can play that prayer. You can pray it once a day. You can pray it twice a day. You can pray it as many times as you want. And then on the back side, we have another one. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's just a good one to praise the Lord with. Lord, I want to thank you that you're my shepherd. I don't want. Lord, I want to thank you that you lead me and guide me. Lord, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid because you are with me. And if you read that, you begin to even throw a bonus in there. It's a prayer of Jabez. It's a good prayer as well. So we've got that for you. Say that might take you, it might take you 10 minutes. You say, well, Alan, you know, I got started with that prayer and I found I pray more and I pray longer and then I read more and read longer. My job is to get you hooked. Then what happens after that is between you and the Lord. But you got to have a place to start. And then here's the third thing. Schedule church time in. Amen. Oh, come on, guys. Look, if I didn't believe this helped you, then I'm a hypocrite. I believe it helps you. I believe when you schedule church time in, it is positive. The negatives will schedule themselves. You just go ahead and schedule in church time. If you're a once every 3 months, let's double it up. Twice every 3 months. Or maybe go to a once a monther. If you're a once a monther, double it. Twice a month. It will help you. You're scheduling something positive into your life. And if you schedule it, then you don't have to make the decision on Wednesday night. Do you want to go? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. How do you feel? I don't know. What do you think? Do you like last message? Not really. Is it going to get better? I hope so, but I don't know. What about the kids? Well, they're all sick. Well, let's don't go. Well, let's, hey. Is it raining? Let's listen. Just schedule it in. And if you schedule it, what you've done? You've put it in a plan. If you've got a plan, it makes it so much easier. Then you don't have to wait to be motivated. Then you've got a plan. Here's the last one. Mix some faith with it. Just mix some faith with it. You know that when you got everything together, now put just a little bit of faith. I like what Jesus said in Mark, the 10th chapter. He said, with men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. What could you do this year if you knew God was going to help you? I'll tell one story and we'll close. When I worked for my father a long time ago, we had a family business, and we put up window treatments like blinds and cornices. And he sent me out one day to work at a retirement home with the cornice boards. Big, long boards covered in cloth. They look very pretty, but they're difficult to get up, especially if you have no giftings in your hands. I really am not gifted with my hands. And I'm not saying that. It's just true. All my gifts went to my mouth. And so I can unplug a toilet. I'm good with the plunger. That's it. And so I'm just not good with my hands. And so my dad sends me out there. I'm trying to do this job. Man, I can't get it done. I work all day. I'm frustrated. I go back. I drive the company van. I drive back to where he was. I sit down across the desk. My dad and I have a very similar personality. I look to him, and I'm like, it's going to come. I'm going to get disappointed. Why can't you do it? I looked to him. I said, Dad, I couldn't do it. I said, I'm sorry. I couldn't do it. I was waiting for the look. I was waiting for the words. Instead, I still remember today, he reached over and he grabbed his calendar and he said, I'll send Lee with you tomorrow. And I went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Lee is incredible with his hands. If you remember MacGyver, not MacGruber, MacGyver. If you remember MacGyver, how he could do amazing things, that was Lee. He could do amazing things with his hands. And so all the way home, I'm thinking to myself, Lee's coming tomorrow. Lee's coming tomorrow. I woke up in the morning and my first thought was, I have to go back to that retirement home. And then I thought, oh no, Lee's coming. And it changed my whole thoughts and it changed my whole perspective because even though I hadn't seen Lee, I believed he was going to be there. My dad said he was coming. He was going to be there. He came. We got the job done. But what changed was before it ever got done, what changed was my heart. And I began to go, thank God. Lee is coming. Listen, we've got a God of hope who is better than Lee. And if he is with you, then no one can be against you. And when you wake up thinking, I can't do it. I can't handle it. It's not going to be a better year. You go, no. I got God in my life. He's coming my way. He is helping me. If God is for me, no one can be against me. I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me? And it makes all the difference in the world. Just mix a little bit of faith with it. What difference can you make in your life if you believe God is going to help you this year? Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of us here. I thank you, Father, for people who have come back, people who've connected maybe for the first time, but people who have come and there's a desire in them, a hope in them that things can be better and with you there can be. Thank you for igniting dreams and desires. Thank you for igniting that hope in us. Thank you for making a difference, that we can make a difference this year, that you might be honored and glorified and people might be helped. We'll give you all the praise for that. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you're here and you say, Alan, I really appreciate what you say, but I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I am really not confident in that area. Or maybe you're here and you said, I used to have a relationship with God, but I got so far away from him. And I want to come back. I'm here. First Sunday of the year, I'm here because I want to reconnect. I want to come back. If either one of those situations applies to you, we're going to say a prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But what I am going to ask you to do in just a moment is simply just lift your hand and acknowledge that that is you that I'm talking about. If that's you this morning saying, I want to get this year started right. I want to connect with God. I want to reconnect with him. I've been away. And I really want Jesus in my life. If that's you, real quickly, just shoot your hand up across this auditorium and we're going to pray in just a moment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. We appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. I see those hands? Yeah. Way in the back. Got you. Thank you. And on the sides here, thank you. Anybody else? Wonderful. Thank you for your courage. That's a great way to start. Now we're going to say a prayer. If you're sitting there just kind of in the valley of indecision going, I don't know. Listen, you can pray this prayer with us right out of your heart. It'll make the biggest difference in your life. We're going to pray it with you. You're not alone in this. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Just pray it out loud so you can hear yourself pray. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, Father, thank you for those that acknowledged you, those who prayed that prayer right out of their heart. Thank you that they have stepped out of darkness into light or back into the light. Thank you, Father, that hope can spring, hope eternal and hope for today. We give you all the praise for that. Thank you, Lord, that this can be a wonderful year. We expect this to be our best year yet because you are our God of hope. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.